science.
It's time to talk science for the final time this year. Here to round up the 2017 stories and sift through fact and fiction is Merin McKinnon from the ANU's Australian National Centre for Public Awareness of Science and Joe Milton from the Australian Science Media Centre. Hello.
Hello.
Hi, Patricia. Hi, Merin.
So, Joe, one of your picks to round out the year is one of the biggest science stories from 2017. Here's the moment that kicked it off in June.
In order to fulfill my solemn duty to protect America and its citizens, the United States will withdraw from the Paris Climate Accord.
Trump pulling out of the Paris Accord. Australia, to be clear, said that they wouldn't follow suit despite our close relationship. What kind of ramifications will that have for climate change? Have we been able to establish that now, what, 6 months later?
Well, there was a pretty recent study that suggested that it could make it much more difficult to keep within those kind of safe levels of change, which is at the moment we're looking at 2 degrees C is the most the temperature can go up. And really, ideally, we want to keep it at 1.5. If the US really doesn't want to play, then that's going to make it more difficult to reach those targets. And, you know, all this when we're seeing all sorts of records broken for hottest years. We found out this year that greenhouse gases in the atmosphere, which had kind of leveled off, we'd managed to pretty much kind of get on top of emissions and uncouple economic growth from emission growth. But that started going up again this year. And that's a lot to do with China creating a lot of emissions.
So what was the reaction to the news in the scientific community?
Well, general dismay, I think, would pretty much sum it up. Most scientists were pretty unimpressed that Trump's going to pull the US out of this agreement. I mean, actually, last year, one of our top 10 stories was the agreement. And, you know, what a great thing it was that the US was on board. So, yeah, it turned into a bit of a bad news story this time. But there were a few views from scientists suggesting it might not be such a bad thing because having the US outside of the deal means that they won't be inside it trying to, you know, trying to lessen it and weaken it. So there's a little possible positive.
Let's move to your big pick of the year, Merin, and that's artificial wombs. How did scientists manage to create them this year?
Well, unbelievably, there are actually two different projects which achieved this this year, one in the US and one in Australia. So the US one used something called a bio bag, which if you've ever looked at sort of that vacuum-packed meat in a butcher, it kind of looks a little bit like that, except not completely sealed. And the Australian one used what the ex vivo uterine environment, otherwise known as EVE therapy, which is essentially a high-tech amniotic fluid bath combined with an artificial placenta.
And this technology could make a big difference for premature babies, right?
Absolutely. So premature babies, so the danger period really is between sort of that 23, 24 week mark of gestation up to about 28 weeks. A baby that's born about 23 weeks doesn't have fully developed lungs or other organs, but the big issue is the lungs. So currently what we can do is intubate the baby and ventilate it using gas, but that introduces a potential for lifelong health problems as well as the potential for infection. So what these artificial environments do is allow the lungs to continue to develop within amniotic fluid. So the lungs are basically developing as they would if they were still in the mother. And the oxygen exchange is happening either via this artificial placenta or via an oxygen circuit through the umbilical cord. So both of these systems don't use any pumps at all. So that means that the lungs can continue to develop in fluid, protected from infection, and the lungs and the heart aren't negatively impacted by any artificial measures.
It is incredible. Joe, staying with medical advancements from this year, let's talk about the young boy who was saved by genetically altered skin. How did they do
it? That's right, but sorry. That's right, Patricia. I mean, this was a really nice, good news medical story, a really heartwarming one. And this was the tale of a 7-year-old Syrian boy With a potentially lethal skin condition, which is called junctional epidermolysis bullosa. Now, that gradually eats away at the outer layer of the skin, and it can kill. The doctors of this particular kid thought he was going to die. But in a sort of last-ditch attempt with some experimental treatments, they actually managed to take his own skin cells and the stem cells from those. They were able to use a virus to insert a correctly working copy of the gene that had gone wrong, and then grow him skin in the lab. Now, we're looking at sort of 2 years after that process started now, and he's got 80% genetically modified skin that's been grafted on. It's taken really well. It heals properly. His life has just been transformed. You know, from being at death's door, he's now out playing football like a normal kid should be.
It's an incredible story. Where can the results of this study be applied elsewhere in gene research?
Well, it's really the one of the most successful examples of both a therapy using stem cells and of a therapy using gene therapy as well, where you insert genes. So this could obviously be useful to other people who have this same condition, although perhaps not all, because it's not always caused by the same mutation. But it certainly is, you know, a really exciting development in medicine, something that we really could not have done a few years ago.
And finally, Meron, another huge story from this year, literally. 2017 saw one of the biggest icebergs on record break away from Antarctica. I mean, surely that can't be a good sign.
Well, it is. It's a very natural process. So this was the Larsen C ice shelf, a massive 1 trillion ton iceberg called A68, and it measures 5,800 square kilometres. So that's roughly double the size of the Australian Capital Territory. So this carved from the Larsen C ice shelf back in July, but this has been a long time coming. So we've been able to see this crack since the 1980s. So the way ice shelves work, they're thick platforms of ice that float on the water, and they're fed by glaciers. So they just keep growing and growing until eventually they break off and the whole process starts again. So this one wasn't necessarily caused by climate change at all.
Should we expect icebergs of this size to break off more and more into the future?
It is possible. So probably the bigger concern here is when you have shelves like this breaking away from the glacier, that does tend to make that surrounding area more unstable. And it also accelerates the rate of melting of the actual ice that's on land. And it's the melting of the ice that's on land which could cause sea level rise, which we do need to be all concerned about.
Just a final question for both of you before we go. I mean, you assess the sort of science news, you're immersed in this every year, and at the end of the year we try and kind of review what's happened. I'll start with you, Joe. Has this year been particularly impressive?
It's certainly been a very interesting year, and there have been some pretty amazing developments. I mean, not least that artificial womb stuff that Meron was talking about, and this wonderful treatment for this kid with the skin condition. So I think it's been a great year for medical advances. In terms of environment, there's no doubt that Trump moving out of Paris is a bit of a big step back, sadly.
And Meron, what do you reckon? I mean, compared to other years that you assess?
Oh, look, I've got to agree with Joe. Like, we have come so far, and like the last few years in particular, if you look at our gravitational wave discoveries and the things which we're confirming, which were hypothesized years ago, and we're only just getting our heads around it now, and what we're actually able to do, we know so much. And then at the same time, we show that we really know so little.
Yeah, the more we find out, the more we realize there's a lot more to find out. Hey, you've been fantastic guests this year. See you in 2018.
Thank you. Looking forward to it.
Thanks, Patricia. Have a great holiday.
You too.